Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
LGBTQ.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives. It is Friday, the 24th of March, 2017, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oak Sen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Pacific Theatre in Vancouver presents Valley Song by Athol Fugard, a story of a South African family in the mid-90s. We'll meet the director and the cast and hear the story of one actor whose life who lived under apartheid as a, quote, colored person. He even had it stamped on his passport, can you believe it? Plus, call board, lots of great local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour of local independent theatre, film, and music. And it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. First Dave Radio of spring 2017, and it's a gray, cloudy day out there in the lovely Musqueam territory of Oak Sen on the point of Point Grey. Hope you're having a good week, a good day, and all that stuff. Now, yesterday I had the pleasure of heading out to Pacific Theatre at 12th and Hemlock, and I got to meet Giovanni Sai, who is the director, David Adams, and Siriana Milani, who are the actors, in Valley Song by Athol Fugard. And Fugard is a South African writer, playwright, who's been writing some great stuff. He wrote about apartheid during the 60s and 70s and 80s. He wrote about life after apartheid in the 90s. And he's sort of writing now about life in South Africa after Mandela. And yeah, he's still going strong. This is a play. This is sort of the first play that he wrote after the apartheid regime collapsed, and Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress took power, and so it was a time of great optimism, great excitement, and This is a it's a story. Well, I'll let the actors and the director explain more about it. But it was a lovely conversation, and I hope you enjoy it.
I'm David Adams. I'm playing Abram Yonkes, or Bux, and also the author.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Syriana.
You're playing the author. You're not the author.
No, I'm playing the author.
Yeah. Syriana.
Hi, I'm Syriana Milani, and I'm playing Veronica Yonkes in the show.
Mm-hmm. And Giovanni.
I'm Giovanni C., and I'm the director of the show.
Okay. Giovanni, let's start with you. Let's talk a little bit about what Valley Song is. What the story of the play is and where it came from and that kind of thing.
Sure. It's a really wonderful story that the legendary South African playwright Ethel Fugard wrote just at the end of apartheid. And it's a very, it's a really gentle story about a grandfather and a granddaughter. The grandfather very much, you know, somebody who's grown up in the whole system of apartheid, and the granddaughter who sees a new South Africa emerging and is mm-hmm. filled with dreams. And it's really this very personal tale about the intergenerational conflict that arises when one person wants to dream about her future and the future of the country, and you have her grandfather who loves her so much and yet is so set in his ways.
Mm-hmm. So, David, you're playing the grandfather.
I'm playing the grandfather, yeah. His name is Abram Yonkes. He's colored, which in or Kleerling, in the apartheid system, there were three groups of people. You had the whites, or the Europeans, and then you had the native people, the Bantu, who were the native Africans, and then the people in between were the mixed race people. In this particular situation, these people are half black, half white, kind of like Métis,
mm-hmm.
Or else they were descended from some of the people that came to South Africa to work, like my family, were descended from what they call the Malays, or they were Indian people,
mm-hmm.
and so Yonkes is a grandfather, a colored guy who's really been squatting on the land for many years since the owner died and the house became derelict and abandoned, and he's made a living growing pumpkins and vegetables in this little field. That's how he's made his living and raised his granddaughter.
Yeah. So even though he lived in this oppressive regime, it was sort of what he was used to, and then all of a sudden everything changes.
But he wants to stay the status quo because he's managed to find a way to survive in the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
He's managed to, you know, sell his vegetables, and so all he wants to do is keep raising his vegetables and just be left alone.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be political or any of that. He wants to, of course, keep his granddaughter close to him. He thinks that if she goes to the big city to seek her fame and fortune, bad things are going to happen because his daughter ran away to the big city and she died. And so he sort of equates that those two things.
Yeah, he's afraid the same thing will happen.
Exactly.
To his
granddaughter.
Yeah. So Syriana, as playing the granddaughter, she's in a position now where, as she's coming of age, her whole country is transforming, and all kinds of new opportunities are coming available for her.
Yeah.
So how does she face that?
I think it's she's very optimistic, and there's a whole new world that she knows is out there and that's waiting for her. And in she's been so loved and so sheltered by her grandfather, and it's just been them. You know, he has very much crafted their world and their life together, and she is hungry for that change. She can feel it in the air, you know, and in the news, she knows that there's a big world out there for her.
Yeah. But what the, I just realized I had the microphone flipped the wrong way. So hopefully the first half will turn out okay. So that's what's drawing her out.
Mm-hmm.
And what's keeping her from, like, what's the obstacle from her leaving? Is it just the resistance of her grandfather, or is she just still feel tied to the land?
I think it's her roots and the fact that this is the only life she knows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just been the two of them.
Yeah.
And so he is her whole world.
Yeah.
And even though there's this pull of her dreams and her future that's pulling her out. You know, of course, there's the opposite that's happening where she wants to, she doesn't want to be severed from
yeah.
these roots and the only home that she knows.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows, she can feel instinctively that that's, she has to take this next step.
So, David, I you mentioned that you actually grew up in South Africa. And about how old were you when this transition changed, when Mandela came to power and apartheid?
My family left in 1960.
Oh, really?
I was still a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened was in 1960 there were some riots around, they were called the Sharpeville riots. A bunch of native kids were being forced into learning the language of Afrikaans, which they considered to be the language of the oppressor.
Right.
And so they peacefully demonstrated against it. Then what happened was the police and the army came in and shot and killed hundreds of these kids, right? And my father decided at that time that he, as much as he loved his country, that he couldn't bring his family up in this hatred.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved away, and of course I'm very grateful that we moved to Canada.
Yeah.
But I still, of course I was very happy when apartheid was abolished, because it was institutionalized racism. You know, I mean, I think personally, my birth certificate has a big red K on it, which meant that I was Kleerling or
yeah.
colored,
yeah.
which meant that I would then be really a second-class citizen. I wouldn't be allowed to just go wherever I wanted and do whatever I wanted. I had to make sure that I had identification with me at all times, and that my opportunities were limited.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I have lots of relatives, family there, who they go, well, what's the big deal? You know, because they had their little world, and they were quite comfortable in their little world, and they didn't see that as an issue. I think for these people, they're sort of torn. You know,
mm-hmm.
they of course the when apartheid was dismantled, there was a lot of hope. People assumed that, you know, things were going to change the next day, and all of a sudden they were going to have freedoms and prosperity. And of course that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, South Africa slid into, you know, economic chaos in a lot of ways, and it's still finding its way. And I think that's what Athol Fugard is trying to say in this play, is that we got to kind of all do this together. The white people and the colored people and the native people have to all work together to make the new South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Giovanni, the play itself was written in 94, 95, something like that.
96.
So, 96. So we're talking only about 5 or 6 years after... After the change in government, after the downfall of, or the removal of apartheid, was some of what David just mentioned about how, you know, that promise not quite being fulfilled, was that also included in the script and how the play was written?
It's actually less than 5 years after the election, so I would say at the time it premiered, there was no sense of, you know, of a promise unfulfilled.
Yeah.
I would say the play is about as hopeful as you can get, and it's not just, I think, that sense of hope, but Fugard himself in the character of the author realizing that he's really passing the torch on to another generation. Like the author talks at the end of the play about, you know, how he's jealous of young Veronica's dreams because he remembers being a dreamer like that and being at that age when everything was possible, and now he realizes his time has passed and
mm-hmm.
it belongs to the younger generation. So in this play, he doesn't really address that sense of endless possibility not attained. I think he addresses that in later plays.
Yeah.
I believe there's a follow-up to this play
mm-hmm.
Where he talks a bit more about that. But at the time, I mean, it really was a time of tremendous optimism.
So what is it that an audience in 2017 can take from seeing this?
Well, I'd say there's two things that really resonated with me. One is the conflict between Books and his granddaughter Veronica. That's an age-old conflict of the dreams, the optimism of youth versus the wisdom and the experience of age. And it's a great struggle mm-hmm. because nobody's right, nobody's wrong. Like, you know, young people should be free to dream unfettered dreams. Mm-hmm. And old people should be there worried about their daughters and granddaughters and, you know, younger generations, because they know what it's like to be at that age. And so, that doesn't go away. This, even though this is specific to a very specific place and time, that dynamic is something that's always going to be there.
Yeah, those universal themes are what really resonate with people.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think an audience in 2017 can take away, and we talked about this a bit, is a lot of the play centered around the land itself and who has legal and moral ownership of the land. And that certainly, you know, in British Columbia in 2017, with native land claims, with the pipeline going through, it's the same idea of, like, just because you have a document or a piece of paper that says the land of yours, does that give you title to the land when there's, you know, age-old traditions and considerations of usage of the land? So mm-hmm. I think audiences can really appreciate both of those themes in the play.
It's even though it's a play about the demise of a hated political regime, I love the fact that it's so gentle. It's very personal. It's about how it affects ordinary people. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes in our political discourse, we forget that, you know, these ideas, however lofty and they might be, they have an effect on us personally.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is what makes Athol Fugard's writing so beautiful. Plus, he's a wonderful poetic writer.
Yeah.
His
mm-hmm.
description and his love of his country is so obvious in the writing. It makes me proud.
Wow.
Even though I'm not a South, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Canadian, I still understand how beautiful, you know, South Africa's a beautiful country.
Yeah.
It really is. It has so much potential, and it's always been the site of people fighting over those beautiful resources.
Yeah. Well, we can certainly relate to that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to David Adams, Giovanni Sai, and Siriana Milani, who are, Giovanni's the director, David and Siriana are the actors performing in Valley Song by Athol Fugard. Opens tonight, runs until the 8th of April at Pacific Theatre at 12th and Hemlock. You can check them out at pacifictheatre.org. Or you can phone the box office at 731-5518. And that, of course, is a 604 number. And I realized after I left the theater and left the interview that I really didn't give Siriana a chance to say anything. She talked a little bit about the character story. And then I kind of went back and forth to the two men and left her kind of hanging in the middle. So Siriana is a great artist and a wonderful person, and she deserves a chance to speak. So I think we should get her in here and just have a one-on-one. I think it'll be worth it. Definitely a great experience for all of us. So, but go see her and David and Valley Song. As I said, it opens tonight, goes to the 8th of April at Pacific Theater.
Love never lasts. one that heals me. Love from above completes me. Love's the source and the ultimate force that aligns everything so neatly. Meet me down by the edge of the ocean. Get swept by the waves in motion. Everyone connected, introspective, so perfected. Now we stand, we are all one people. Stay strong to the day we are equal. Sing a song for the state of the world. Making a pearl in the eye of the sequel. Cause our story will move mountains. And we pray for the youth in the fountain. And it starts from the heart, let your soul take part. Take it to the top of the skyline.
War after wars, lives that we lost. All of the pain that the ancestors saw. And nowadays, all of the praise. Bearing the hearts of the king.
Know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Party with me? No, the game's on. Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, cause I'm the man.
Hey there.
Barev.
We're the Armenian Students Association, and we're here to bring together everyone,
Armenians and non-Armenians,
who are interested in learning about the Armenian culture here at UBC.
Find us on Facebook at ASAUBC to stay up to date. We look forward to seeing you at our future events.
Have a sustainable idea? Want to be more involved with environmentalism on campus? Need funding to host a green event?
Then reach out to the Student Environment Center for funding, helpers, and advice on how to make your sustainable ideas a reality.
Contact us. Do it. Our Facebook page is UBC Student Environment Center. Give it a like.
Also, come check out the free store in room 2102 on the second floor of the AMS Student Nest.
Free?
Free.
Free?
Free.
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 That's right. It's a free store.
So are you watching the TV show Feud, the story about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford and the making of whatever happened to Baby Jane? I know if you're under 30 and straight, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But the woman playing Bette Davis, Susan Sarandon, before she was Bette Davis, she was Dammit Janet in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And tonight, Rocky Horror Picture Show, live on stage and on screen at the Rio Theater. The Geekenders are doing a big production. It's the usual Rocky Horror Picture Show event where everyone is encouraged to show up in costume and bring their favorite props and their favorite heckles, and it's the original interactive media experience. Let me just read the blurb here.
Join us for one of the most notorious cult movie experiences you can possibly have in a darkened theater. For over four decades, the Rocky Horror Picture Show has been giving absolute pleasure to adoring audiences spaced out on sensations like they're under sedation. See it the way it was meant to be seen, on the big screen, in the dark, and with a raucous, real audience, as they are just as into it as you are. And not only do you get to participate, but if you just want to sit back and watch, the Geekenders, who are one of the great performance groups at the Rio, are doing a shadow cast. This is it. This is the big experience. As always, costumes and audience participation highly encouraged. And bring your own props. But remember, no rice. No rice. If you bring rice, you got to pick it up yourself. So don't bring it. They'll have prop bags. It'll be sold in the lobby for $2 anyway. Doors open at 11. The show is at 11:55, so it's technically a midnight screening, but it's Rocky Horror at the Rio tonight.
I was feeling done in, couldn't win. I'd only ever kiss more.
You mean she?
I thought there's no use getting into heavy petting. It only leads to trouble and feet wetting. Now all I want to know is how to go. I've tasted blood and I want more. The distance. I've got an itch to scratch. I need assistance. Touch, 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 touch me. I wanna be dirty. Grow me, chill me, fulfill me. Creature of the night. Then if anything grows,
we
Oh, it's me. Hi. On Tuesday night at the Rio Theater, it's a special event, a concert for Bowden. All You Need Is Love. Over 20 Vancouver artists take over the Rio stage in the name of love and hope. A very dear friend of the show, Jacques Lalonde, he has a nephew named Bowden. And nephew Bowden has been dealing with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which is a debilitating illness that... That just takes your life away from you far too soon. Bowden is living at home under hospice care, but that's expensive. And so Jacques has gotten together some of the best top performers in Vancouver. Some names you'll recognize, a lot you won't, but they're all definitely worth the admission to come in. Some of the names are Boucrou, Something About Reptiles, The Honky Tonk Dilettantes, Paula Spurs group, Kempton High Rise Dexter, Joseph Cairns, Laurie Watt, David Simons, Ronnie Way, Jesse Wallman, Lindsay Robertson, Abby DeForest, Copper Crow Blues Band, Cat and Tony, Tim Redman, Illiterary, Beverly Elliott of she's Gran on Once Upon a Time, but she's also a fabulous singer, and the great Mackenzie Gray will be there as well. So all kinds of great local talent coming together for a great cause. It's All You Need Is Love, a concert for Bowden, March 28th. That's this coming Tuesday at the Rio Theater on Broadway and Commercial. Advance tickets are $20, and you can get them at riotheater.ca. Oh, that wasn't what I intended to play. Let's have this instead. Nope, that's not it either. I don't know. My player's not working. Let's try. Okay, here's the Evaporators. I know that will work. There we go. As you probably are aware, the Arts Club Theater is putting on Angels in America by Tony Kushner. That's going on. It's going on right now. The official opening night is Wednesday, the 29th. Previews are happening right now. Fabulous local cast involved with that one. I just wanted to mention, though, that they're doing a special public event on Saturday of next week, April the 1st. And this is a free panel discussion all about the play itself and how it still resonates within the LGBTQ community and beyond. And panelists include Dave DeVoe from ZZ Theatre, Vancouver MLA Spencer Chandra Herbert, who is also a member of the theater community, Vina Sood, and Colin Thomas. The event will include moderated questions directed to the panelists and performance by the Marcus Mosley Chorale. So it's happening Saturday, the 1st of April, at the Stanley Alliance Stage at 12th and Granville. They didn't give us a time, but you can go to the Arts Club website, artsclub.com, and hit the education stage talks buttons, and they will pass you on to there. And also check out Angels in America.
Overgrown with weeds. My only wish is to be buried by machines. When winter turns to spring, it'll find me with another name for your love. Your love. Oh, and it won't be for your sake.
The Pole Festival is well underway. It closes tomorrow night at Little Mountain Gallery at 295 East 26th Avenue. That's 26th and Main. This is the fourth annual Pole Festival. It's a showcase of local playwrights. Let's see, click on the See More button and we'll see what we can get here. It's produced by Speakeasy Theater, and special shout out to Kayvon and Pippa, who are the core artistic directors and the people that do all the work to put all this stuff together. Plays this year by writers like Kevin Hatch, Pippa Mackey, Matt Gordon, Kira Barnes,
Millie Mumford, who I think is going to be on the show next week. We're trying to get her in here anyway. Dale McDonald, and that's it. So those are the writers, their plays. They're all about 10 minutes each. And so every night you get to see about half a dozen great original works. And it's well worth it to check that out. You got two more nights left, tonight and tomorrow. It's only $15 at the door. And it goes to a great cause to help promote more local playwrights. So that's the Pole Festival at Little Mountain Gallery at 26th and Main. And one other thing I wanted to mention. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke with Kiki, the 12-year-old singer-songwriter pop sensation who is on the fast track to stardom. She performed at the Red Room for the landmark event, 2 weeks ago now, and she got through. She made it through the first round, so now she gets to go to either Toronto or Montreal for the second round, and that is happening in September. No, that's not right. She doesn't get to go through yet. She gets to go to the second round in Vancouver, and if she gets through that, then she gets to go to the finals in Toronto or Montreal. So the show in Vancouver will be in September at the Fortune Club, and that's a much bigger venue than where she played before. So good on her, good on us, and we'll hope to get her in here another time between now and September to help push that. But I just wanted to give a little Dave Radio tip of the hat to Kiki for being well on her way.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend, and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you and I rocking with the best, 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Bells, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, right?
Yo, I am Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.9, man. Turn up, turn up, turn up.
Songs for a New World. This is an ensemble piece of diverse performers by Jason Robert Brown. It's a song cycle, and this large cast brings the show to life, portraying refugees and immigrants, children and mothers, the hopeful and the hopeless. It's an unforgettable journey as we reimagine this soaring musical that remains poignant, funny, and relevant to this day. It's directed by friends of the show, Damon Jang and Mary Littlejohn, and it's happening at the PAL Studio Theater on Cardero Street in Cole Harbor. And it closes, it starts this weekend, and official opening night is tonight. It goes until next Saturday, April 1st. You can get more information at... Where is it at? It's not there. Oh, well, go to Performing Arts Lodge, and that will. Oh, here we go. Tickets available here. Oh, I can't read it. Go to the Performing Arts Lodge website, and that will give you the links to get to Songs for a New World. Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions
and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. The Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance Summer Shakespeare series is getting together. Their auditions are happening now at the Jewish Community Center, Greater Vancouver, 41st and Oak Street. You were looking for actors, singers, dancers, and other kinds of performers between the ages of 9 and 19. Check out theimpresario.ca or jccgv.com for more information on that one. The We got your fringe. We got three fringe shows having auditions coming on this week and next. One is called Obit. This is produced and directed by Kathy Collis and Simon Roberts. Brand new original show, looking for three females, three male actors. This is a dark comedic spin on death. Does the written obituary accurately portray the person who died? And what about the people left behind? So that's that is happening, as I said, Sunday and Wednesday. And you contact them and they'll tell you, they'll send you some sides and tell you where the auditions are. And then we've got Her Name Was Mary by Ty Amy Grauman. This is going to be, the auditions for that are on Sunday at Progress Lab, 1422 William Street. If you want to know more about that, contact Seamus at indigochildproductionsvan@gmail.com. And Blackjack Productions doing Throne by Chris Nash. And their auditions are April 8th and 9th. And contact them at info@blackjack, and that's spelled B-L-A-C-K-J-A-C-Q. .com. This is a play about Irish musicians, so they're looking for musicians and preferably with strong Irish accents. Check that one out. Actually, I might know a couple of people that might fit that description, but we'll leave that up to you. So that's three fringe shows that are auditioning right now. We've also got Peninsula Productions in White Rock. This is a play by Sean McDonald called Sea of Stories. That's happening in August, and the auditions are in April. Looking for performers between 50 and 30 years old. And it says must be in school full time. If you're 30 years old and still in school full time, we'll see. Ask them what that means. The information is at peninsulaproductions.org. And if you're going to send them an email, write Sea of Stories Auditions on the subject line. Vagabond Players in New West doing Charlie's Aunt. That's happening in June, directed by friend of the show Dale Kelly. The auditions are in April, next weekend, April 2nd and April 4th. And that's at the Burnie Leg in Queen's Park. And they are looking for about half a dozen male and females, sort of between the ages of 18 and 30, although there are a couple of parts for more senior actors as well. And that's vagabondplayers.ca for more information on that. And then also at the Burnie Leg Theatre, Vagabond Players in conjunction with Alchemy Theatre are doing Shakespeare's Love's Labour's Lost. And that's going to be up in August. The auditions are at the end of April, the 22nd to the 26th. And that's alchemytheater.ca for more information on that. And if you want to know more about these or any other audition notices, you go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice you'd like to have read on the air, then just send it to the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us at daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com.
Oh. Spider-Man can't be attached to anything else.
Be a little bit of a hot place again. Be a little bit of a hot place again.
Once we know you haven't done a bad thing, but we won't tell no one.
Be a little bit of a hot place again. Be a little bit of a hot place again.
Clearly something changed, 'cause in that way we met in Crab Park. In that snowy December day. So I said nothing, and you said nothing, and we decided to go our separate ways again.
Tomorrow night at the Havana on Commercial Drive, Vancouver Instant Theater presents Shakespeare After Dark, the highbrow fusion of Shakespeare served with a side of improvisational mischief. In the first half, you witness a scene from The Bard utterly monkey-wrenched by an utterly punch-drunk cast member, leaving the rest of the cast to improvise around them. Then stick around for the second half, where the cast lays the booze aside to serve a straight-up Shakespearean tragedy based on your suggestions, with a genuinely drunken professional actor volunteering every night. No two shows are ever the same, side-splitting, raucous, and completely interactive. Shakespeare After Dark will blow you away. It's only $10. And if you have dinner first, you have your Havana receipt, it's only $10. It's only $8. There we go. So make sure you get in there. It's at the Havana tomorrow night, and the show is at 10 o'clock. So check it out. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments in the past, you can go to our podcast archive at CITR.ca and stick around, because we got lots of great programming for the rest of the day. Fresh Slice is up next, Radio Zero at 2 o'clock. At 3:30, it's Napkin Boy with Nardwar, the Human Serviette presents. And Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
jubilation dream, and you're sorry.